Ephesians 1 verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. What is beautiful here is that the apostle Paul starts his letter in chapter 1 where he says, by the will of God. And we're going to see how this will of God is revealed as God restoring all things in the earth. And that is the foundation from where Paul approaches this letter. In my paraphrase in the Resurrection Bible, I translated it like this, or paraphrase it like this. I am Paul, sent by God according to His will, which I'm about to explain to you. My letter is addressed to the church. Those that are faith heroes as well as the others, I make no distinction. What I'm about to say will be good for all of you. One of the things that we need to understand about Ephesians is that it's a letter about unification. It's a letter about God unifying Jew and Gentile, as well as unifying heaven and earth, wherein God brings His life to the earth. So we find in chapter 1, right through Ephesians, that underlying tone of unity, that underlying tone of heaven and earth meeting, that underlying tone of redemption, Exodus language, wherein God redeems man, sets man free from the oppression of sin and death. Verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 2 is flooded with rich, what I would call early church language on what Jesus Christ actually came to do. He came and He said, grace be to you. The first thing that the Apostle Paul has in mind is that he wants to announce to these people that what God has towards them is grace, that God is a gracious God. And then peace, the word peace meaning a unification or harmony to you. And this is from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see the unity there? He wants to come and say, listen, the Father and the Son feel the same about this thing. The Father and the Son, they are one. They are united. They are of the same mind, of the same thought. Jesus actually being the express image of the Father. And that's why He says it that way. And this is my paraphrase. I just spoke to the Father. His message to you is the original message that will never change. Father and Son both radiate with willingness to influence your life by continual goodness towards you. His goodness is expressed in His eternal union with man in the resurrected Jesus. Perfect harmony, perfect peace. When we look at the word grace, we need to understand that grace is not just God not looking at our sin and willing to give us a second chance. Grace is much deeper than that. Grace is much wider than that. It cannot be defined inside the narrow parameters of simply saying God is not angry. What grace is the divine influence upon the heart of man, including the manifestation of the very life of God in that man, all by the doing of God. And that's why I translate it that way, or paraphrase it that way. It's Paul spoke to the Father and he said, the first thing that the Father has towards you, the first thing that I want you to know is that He's rich in His influence, wherein He will influence you unto the manifestation of His very life, unto the manifestation of the life of heaven inside a earthen vessel, and so also glorifying God's people. When we look at peace, it is very important to understand what peace is. Peace talks about harmony. The word peace means harmony. It talks about when you look at an orchestra and they're making music, if they are in the same tone and all flows together and they are in harmony, you feel and you experience that resonance. So what God is saying is through the Apostle Paul, and I like the way Paul writes this, and the feeling I get is that he just spoke to the Father and just after he's spoken to the Father and in that communication, in his prayer life, he comes and writes this quickly. This is what I have from the Father. This is what God has for you. That union, that absolute influential power, wherein God by His doing, not man by His own doing, but God by His doing, will unites you with who He is. That's called grace. And He brings man into perfect harmony. And this we can see from God the Father and the Son, since the Father willed the Son to come and the Son willingly received man and everything about man onto Him, and in the resurrection brought forth this harmony between God and man. And that harmony is called peace, and the power that brought it forth is called grace. When we look at verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." The Apostle Paul comes and he says, "Let us speak well of." Bless means to speak well, to speak with adoration. And out of this revelation, out of this richness of what he understands grace is, and what he understands peace is, and wherein he comes, like I said in the introduction to Ephesians, from a revelation of a resurrected Jesus and what it all implies, he cannot but jump over into worship, and from that worship also correct man and invite man to enter into the worship that's in his hearts. We need to understand that Paul writes to the Ephesians, and Ephesus was like a power hub of religion. It was a place where the people believed in Diana, and they were known for worshiping her and having all these shrines and idols everywhere. All the pagan worship, a lot of pagan worship was there. And from there, the logic and the powers and the rulership of how to govern the world, how it was a place of man's effort to try and reach the gods and so have the blessing of the gods manifest in the earth. And here Paul comes, and when he thinks of how God reached the earth in Jesus Christ and how everything the people in Ephesus chase after are actually all taken together in one man, Jesus. And as he comes and he says, "Grace to you and peace," he says, "Wow, let us speak well of God." And he's actually in that inviting the Ephesians not to look at idol worship or anything else but what God has done, since it is such a great act of love. And then he goes on, he says, "Let us, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then he explains the reason why he says that. And this is the reason: who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So what he's actually saying is that Jesus Christ, and this is what I want you to understand, what is inside the mind of Paul. Jesus is the Word of God. And Jesus, who the man is at the right hand of God, I can call it this way: Jesus would be heaven. He is heaven. He is the place where heaven and earth comes together. He is that place. And since he is in human form, he is a message about us. And this is what Paul says. He says, "Let us speak well of God, who has spoken well of us." And then it says, and verse 3, with all blessings in heavenly places. Let me just get verse 3 there and read it again. He says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." When he talks about spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, he is immediately referring to the physical Jesus at the right hand of the Father, and he sees who Jesus is as a blessing towards mankind. That blessings in heavenly places doesn't talk about a car in heaven and a big fat wallet that is there that God will pass down as you obey him on the earth. That's not what it talks about. When it talks about spiritual blessings in heavenly places, he's talking about eternal life blessing that is inside the man, Jesus Christ, which is the word about you. I'm going to just end off the session by just reading Ephesians 3 from the Resurrection Bible. Let us speak well of God, the Father of the one that has served us with his life. He has spoken well of us with the highest and the most eloquent speech that could be found in the heavens, which is Jesus. Jesus is the word about every man. Jesus, all he is and all he possesses, is God's final declaration, an eternal message about us.